Chapter 5. Now What? When she reached down to pick up the blanket, Sage noticed a few drops of blood falling on it. My ears, she thought, recalling the day Flyer's talons striking her. She didn't remember any pain then, and she didn't feel any now. Must not be too bad, she thought, as she rummaged in one of the panniers for first aid supplies. As she was pulling out the bag, she remembered that it was her mother who insisted on putting it in there. She tried to reconcile that with her mother's cool aloofness before she left. She hadn't even come to the gate to say goodbye. Sage shook her head, thinking she would never understand motherhood. The medicine bag had a small mirror in it, just the thing if you're attempting first aid on yourself. She held it up and examined her ear. It was worse than she thought. The top of her right ear was split by a 3-centimeter tear. The ear was covered in blood, and it had run all down that side of her head and neck. The good news was that the bleeding had slowed down already. The wound was just oozing a trickle now. She got out her water bag and used it to rinse her ear. She could clean up the rest later. For now, she just needed to get a good look at the tear so she could see what needed doing. She propped the mirror on the pannier and pressed the wound together. Then she bound it so it would stay. It was more difficult than it had to be because her hands were shaking. Come on, she told herself. It's barely a scratch. Just a bit of blood. Nothing to get all shaky about. You've had worse playing in the compound with the other kids. She finally got it wrapped up and used the mirror to admire her work. She thought she looked ridiculous with a great white flag for an ear, and she was laughing at herself as she stowed her gear and put on the blanket and panniers. Okay, she said, as she started down the hill. Flyer should have no trouble spotting me now. When repacking the pannier, she had taken care to fix the rattle. At least, she thought, they might have more trouble hearing me. She found the glider right where she thought it would be. She picked it up and found that it had no marks on it. Even the flyer's talons hadn't managed to put a scratch on its smooth surface. There was no material this light that could do that. Maybe a glazed ceramic or glass, like her mirror, or those few bottles and jars the village had traded for. But if the glider was made out of that stuff, then it would be far heavier than it was. As she was lashing it on, she said, "So, who made you?" She looked past the jumbled blocks and up the high cliff. She could see where she'd thrown the glider from, and she had a small pang when she thought about how close she was to following it. If the flyer had hit her more squarely, she would have been knocked over the edge, then the flyer would have plucked her out of the air and taken her back to its eyrie. If she hadn't died by then, she would have, as it was tearing her apart to eat. She looked down at her hands and saw that they were shaking badly, worse than before. Her breath was shallow. She could feel her heart pounding, and her legs felt weak and trembly. She ran her eyes along the cliff face and soon picked up where the flyer's eyrie must be. There was a lot of guano on the sheer wall below it, and she thought she saw some movement. Looking more closely, she could see that the nest was occupied by at least one and possibly two young flyers. They were waiting for the adult to bring them back some food. She shivered at the thought that it could have been her. She found herself looking at the cliff above and below the nest, and she realized that she was trying to see if she could get at it. She was thinking about whether she could destroy it and kill those young flyers before they could grow up into big flyers. She shook her head and turned away. "You can't do that," she said. Glancing back, she thought, "It's too dangerous anyway." Now she didn't know what to do. Should she go back up the scarp and throw the glider again? She couldn't think why. Maybe she should go for a run out on the plain. That used to be one of her favorite things. Running until she was panting in sweet exhaustion and then trotting back to the village, to friends, family, and food. Her stomach jumped, and her breath caught. Again it hit her. This was real. She would never be going back to the village again. This was...